morning. Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us this morning for worship. Please stand as you are able for our opening hymns.
Any children that are here this morning want to come on and sit on the steps with us before we head off to children's church and to
good
youth
morning.
Group. Great, great, great.
Yay, good morning.
Here. All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I see we have a couple animals up here, as well as all of these beautiful people. So I know we've been talking about shelter, right, in Children's Church. We've been talking about God providing shelter for all of the creatures of the earth, the nests for the birds and the caves for the bears and houses for humans. And so I'm going to read you something, and I want to ask you to tell me a little bit about what style this is of what I'm reading. Come on up. Join us. There you go. Welcome. All right. A great big owl in a great big tree on a night so dark you could hardly see was watching the lights in the deep ravine where the witches danced on. What word comes next?
Halloween.
Very good. And how did you know that that word came next? Because it rhymed. So what was it that I was just reading? Who knows? Raise your hand if you know what kind of a passage this is. Anybody know what it's called? Do you want to tell us what's
poem?
It called?
Spooky story?
Spooky story. It was a spooky story. Yes.
Poem?
It's a poem. It's a spooky story poem. Absolutely right.
Poems rhyme.
Say that again?
Because poems rhyme. Because rhyme and meter.
Rhyme and meter. I love it. So smart. Don't we have smart kids in this congregation? So, yes, absolutely. So a lot of poems rhyme, and we hear, and that's why you knew that the word was Halloween at the end, because there's a meter and a rhyme to the words. And often in the Bible, there are poems that have been written because they help us give an image or a picture of things that are harder sometimes to picture. We need to hear it almost in song, right? We need to hear it in imagery and in words that rhyme. And so today we're going to be talking about that as we continue on our series, talking about God giving us shelter. Our children's church today will be meeting in the chapel.
Actually, yes. Children's church is in Grant Hall. Choir will be in
the
chapel.
Thank you. So children's church is in Grant Hall. Our children's choir will meet afterwards in the chapel. The youth group, we have a very important youth group meeting today. Youth group has so many great things coming up. Starting with our Divine Diner in just 2 weeks, where the youth group will be serving lunch to all of you for a very affordable price that will be a fundraiser for us. So you'll be hearing more about that, and so we'll be planning that, our upcoming Christmas shop, and a lot of different activities. And then finally, our last announcement. So we know that Halloween is coming up, and we have an annual Halloween party. So on October 29th, please wear your costumes. We're encouraging you to wear your costumes. We're encouraging you to bring somebody. If you have a friend or a cousin or someone you want to bring with you to church, bring them. And we'll have a great time of activities and stories and games and candy, of course.
And Mr. Kevin will be in costume, too.
I will be in costume. Wow, okay, yes, Miss April, I will be in costume. Okay, let's pray, and we all head off to Children's Church. Creator God, for the fall and the seasons and the change of the times as the sun sets earlier and comes up later, pray that this would be a time, though it's a busy, busy season, a time of reflection, a time of quiet and of solitude, if that is where you're calling us. But as we come together as a church family, may we remember those who have touched our hearts and our lives as we will today. Help us to be people that lead the children and the youth of this church to be people that are like you, Jesus, who love unequivocally, who share compassion, who fight for justice. May we be a people and a church that leads in that way. Thank you for the children and the youth of this church. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of serving them. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we head off to Children's Church, I invite you all to stand and pass the peace of Christ with one another.
With you. It's wonderful to see you this morning here at our church. I invite you now to take a deep breath and center yourself, to enter into a time of shared prayer together, invited there by our wonderful chancel choir.
acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer.
God of life, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We offer you thanksgiving for this time together, this place of communion and fellowship. What a precious gift you have given to be able to worship freely. Breathe your spirit of life over this place and over our community and over each of us. Help us as we discern what it means to be a follower of Christ. Inspire us to move from the pews to the streets as a living embodiment of your love. Guide us as we seek our own place in your ministry of building the beloved community. God, we want to serve, but we are not always sure of the way or what will be required of us. Remove our fears and hesitation from our hearts and embolden us so that we can become who you are calling us to be. Holy Parent, bless our neighbors with your abundance. Bring healing to the broken places and solace to the hurting. This morning we pray for the peaceful resettlement of many migrant families, some who have been brought without consent to California. May we be a welcoming place where others have failed. We pray for peace in Israel and Palestine and a cease to the war and destruction that has already claimed 600 lives in the past few days and impacted many thousands more. May the world's children know war no more. May we find room for tolerance and love for one another and the end of weapons that take people's lives. This morning we lift up those in our community who are in need of healing, spiritual guidance, and your presence. We pray for healing for Rob Glady, for Irene and Tony, for spiritual discernment for Charles. Please continue to bring solace and comfort to Lauren and his family on the passing of Carol, to Isaac and his family on the passing of Philip, and bring solace to Dan on the loss of his beloved twin. We also pray this morning for Stephanie and Brian Blondell on the passing of her father, Robert Bell, this morning. As they travel back to the place of his being, we pray that you will give them safety and guide them. This has been a season of loss for some, and so please be with those who have both grief and recovery in front of them, and grant them your strength, endurance, and compassion. There are many prayers left unsaid, and now we take a moment to offer them to you silently in a time of reflection. God, you are the God of many, of blessings, of the things that come into our lives and change who we are. You bring forth all that we have, and we offer our gratitude to you. We are so grateful for the way you move in our lives, the way you reveal yourself in choice moments, and for the times that you sustain us and we don't even know your presence. You have given us everything, including your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died for us, who taught us what it meant to love and to love radically, to work for peace, to change the world that we live in and imagine something greater, a place where all would reside in your grace, free of harm, in communion with one another. We thank you for the prayer that he taught us, reminding us to reach out to you every day in conversation, in relationship. It's the prayer that we offer you now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good Sunday morning, church family. You know what time it is? It's time to check in. Look at that. Oh, so quickly it's not working. There it is. Get out your phones. Go ahead and scan that QR code. If you have any prayer requests, please drop those in there as well. We collect those every week, and we pray over them. So hopefully today you'll be joining us as we celebrate the life of our beloved Richard Settle. At 1 p.m., we're going to have the memorial in here and then a celebration later on in the gym after we're done. Just in as well, Pastor Brady's small group is meeting this Wednesday at Harmony in person at 6:30. This small group focuses on the housing crisis, also people in need and people that are housing insecure and food insecure. So if you would like to be a part of that, you can actually be there to show up. Don't need a reservation or anything, or email Pastor Brady to show up and be there at 6:30 at the Harmony campus. There's gonna be snacks, I just heard. Next Sunday is AIDS Walk, and if you have not signed up yet for the team, there's still time. You can also just show up and walk with the team, but we need your email so we can tell you where we're all meeting. So that is happening tomorrow. Next Sunday. It begins at 10 a.m. at the West Hollywood Park. Then coming up, you heard a little bit about it from Kevin today, but on the 22nd, we have the Divine Diner, which is a great event. The youth group puts it on. They're going to be cooking some burgers, I hear, for us, and some doing the grilling. And I believe the charge is going to be about $10 per person, but all of that money that they raise is going to go towards the Christmas shop, which is where they buy a bunch of toys, and they set them up, and they give them away to families in need. So it's a great two-pronged event. So be part of that if you can on the 22nd. Also, starting on the 22nd, we have our new members class with Rev Kathy. It's a two-Sunday class, so it's the 22nd and the 29th. And if you're interested in learning more about this church community, we've been here for 114 years in Hollywood, so if you would like to know more, email Rev Kathy and sign up for that class. Also on the 29th, I don't remember if Kevin really talked about it fully, but we're having the Halloween party for the kids, which is a lot of fun. So that's going to happen in the gym during church, but at the first part of church, we're going to get to see all their costumes. So it's a fun time. So make sure if you have any families or friends with families, let them know we're doing that. And then after church in the courtyard on the 29th, we've got a lot of things going on. We're just having our annual Christmas market. And that's where you can buy handmade gifts for Christmas, and that runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. that whole day. Any of these things I talked about, please stop by the welcome table afterwards. I'll be out in the courtyard next to all of the delicious baked goods that Dan and team made for us today, and I can answer any questions. All that we do here is made possible through your prayers, your service, your witness, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up the QR code for electronic giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here today.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
This morning we continue with our fall sermon series, Wrestling with the Questions Jesus Asked. And I want to say up front that typically when something happens on a national or global stage, I will rewrite the sermon and include that part. I had no time this weekend to do that. So we will be talking about, and hopefully we'll know more about, the issues in Israel and Palestine next Sunday. But the book, Wrestling with the Questions Jesus Asked, is by Magre de Vega, who is a United Methodist pastor in Florida. And he explores six of the most provocative questions that Jesus asked. He liked asking questions, this Jesus, and it cuts right to the heart of what it means to be human. The first week we considered the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Followed by, "Why are you afraid?" Last week, Pastor Devin addressed, "Why are you anxious?" And today, our question from Jesus is, "What do you live for?" It's an intriguing question for which there are many answers over the course of our lives. At sunrise in elementary school, we lived for what? Recess, right? Summer vacations, am I right, or what? Starting out on our careers, it seems like we live for work. If we are blessed to find that special person in our life, we might say that we live for them. If children come along, either our own or nieces and nephews, we find that we would do almost anything for them, usually. And then at the sunset of our lives, to quote our beloved Richard Settle when he was in hospice, "To know that the dear Lord has given me one more day." What do you live for? Emerson asked the same question in a different way, saying, "The gods we worship write their names on our faces. Be sure of that. And a person will worship something. That which dominates will determine one's life and character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship. For what we are worshiping, we are becoming." So perhaps it's really three questions. What are you worshiping? What are you becoming? And what are you really living for? For Mark, the only answer is the cross. The gospel that we read this morning, the eighth chapter, is the turning point of Mark's entire gospel. It's the exact halfway point in the gospel, and thus far, everything has led up to Jesus saying, "All who want to come and after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." It is at this halfway point in the gospel, it's the first time that Jesus has used the word cross. And Mark uses the word cross more than either Luke or John, and the same number of times as Matthew, and yet Mark is the shortest gospel of all four. Now, it makes sense that Jesus waited until now to start talking about the cross, because think about it. What if, in calling the disciples, Jesus would have said, "Follow me, I'll show you how to fish for people, and by the way, you're going to experience persecution and hardship in the form of a cross"? He would not have had many takers, I'm quite sure. The same thing is true with us today when we try to define who we are. Some years ago, I wanted to do a series on Bonhoeffer's The Cost of Discipleship, which is a wonderful book written during World War II. And I wanted to put up a banner about it. And the person who was our marketing person at the time said, "Kathy, we want people to come in the doors, not run from them." Because if you put cost and discipleship, there are people who don't understand that outside of our context. But here is what Jesus asked of the disciples. "If you want to follow me, your cross is unavoidable. It's about losing what you value the most to gain what you do not understand. And then he asked one of the most poignant rhetorical questions in all of the Gospels. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What do you live for? Retired Bishop Will Willimon, before he became a bishop, was the dean of the Duke Divinity School's chapel. And one day he got a call from a very angry parent. The man had sent his daughter off to college at the United Methodist-related Duke. She was then supposed to be headed to grad school after graduation, but in his words, she decided to throw it all away to go do mission work with the Presbyterians in Haiti. So this father was irate, and he chewed out Dr. Willimon, saying, "I hold you personally responsible for this." And Willimon said, "Me? That's absurd." The father shouted, "She has a BS in mechanical engineering from Duke, and now she's got to go dig ditches in Haiti?" Well, Bishop Willimon replied, "Well, I doubt that she received much training about ditch digging here at Duke, but she's probably a fast learner and will catch on in a few months." "Look," the father said, "this is no laughing matter. You're completely irresponsible for encouraging her to do this." And Bishop Willimon said, now wait just a minute. Aren't you the one who brought her to church and had her baptized?" "Well, yeah." "And aren't you the one who brought her to church, to Sunday school even, and to church on Sunday morning?" "Well, yeah." "Aren't you the one who read Bible stories to her at night on occasions with your family, and let her go with that youth fellowship on the ski and mission trip in Vail?" "Well, yeah, but no, don't butt me. It's your fault. It's your fault that she believed all that stuff, and now she's gone and thrown it all away to Jesus. It's not my fault. You're the one who introduced her to Jesus, not me." And then the father said, "All we ever wanted her to be was a Presbyterian." And the bishop replied, "Sorry, you messed up. You made her a disciple of Jesus Christ." You see how dangerous this question from Jesus can be? How we answer it can change the trajectory of our lives. It can reorient our priorities and reframe how we see ourselves in the world and how we operate in the world. But if we answer it correctly, and we choose to take up our cross, foregoing the ways of the world, then we will gain the only thing that matters, life itself, a soul-filled, purpose-filled life. The great theologian Lynn Sweet once wrote that God sent Jesus to be a Messiah in our midst because God always wants to be near to us. When we act as Jesus' disciples, when we follow his way of laying down the self and taking up the cross, we open ourselves to God's living presence in our lives. When we truly worship God, we draw near to the divine and are genuinely available to hear what God wants to share with each and every one of us. Part of what God wants to share with us is that taking up the cross is not a one-and-done option in life. It's a daily occurrence, a daily commitment. But the good news is we don't do it alone. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi that the one who started a good work in you will stay with you to complete the job. In other words, God isn't finished with you yet. In the fall of 1980, I was spending a semester at American University in Washington, D.C. Why they let elementary kids go at night, that I don't understand. But, you know, I was spending a college semester at American University. That was a joke about my age, so there you go. That's as good as it gets in this one today. So that November, Jimmy Carter lost the presidential election to Ronald Reagan. I don't know how we found out, but there was a group of us that found out where President Carter was giving his concession speech. So, of course, we went. The Sheraton, Washington, Woodley Park. So we thought, well, let's just go see if we can get in. Well, sure enough, we did. And I have a picture somewhere that proves it. Now, political pundits at the time were, even before the election, they were bashing Carter, saying he would never have a real impact again, he'd never amount to anything. and he just needed to go back to Plains, Georgia, which he did. He built his library in the Carter Center in Atlanta. But in 1986, just 6 years after losing the presidency in an embarrassing election, the Carter Center founded the Guinea Worm Global Initiative to eradicate this debilitating tropical parasite. I'm not showing you a picture because I Googled it, and I will never get that image out of my mind. But at the time, in 1986, upwards of 3 million people in Africa and Asia were affected with this parasite, which dates back to Old Testament times. It's recorded in the book of Numbers. It's not called the guinea worm, but that's what it is. And is transmitted by unhealthy drinking water. In 2014, on his 90th birthday, Carter was asked what was left on his to-do list. Was it Middle East peace? Was it greater funding for habitat? No, he said, he wanted the guinea worm to be eliminated from the planet before he dies. And in fact, when he visited Nigeria that year, a group of children held up a big sign that said, "Watch out, guinea worm, here comes Jimmy Carter." Jimmy Carter turned 99 last Sunday, and he celebrated by learning that as of last Sunday, there are 6 remaining cases of guinea worm in this world. 6. What do you live for? When Jesus calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross, he's not asking us to deny our essence. He's not asking us to deny the core of who we are and who God created us to be. No, as Caroline Lewis says, this is a denial of the self in the best way, the self that refuses community, the self that thinks it can survive on its own, the self that rejects the deep need of humanity, the deep need to belong to one another. Jesus' charge to us is not a demand to deny your true self. It's an invitation to imagine that yourself needs others. Desperately, intimately, because this is what being human is all about. Intimacy, belonging, relationship, community. Over the course of the past few years, a group of folks in this community answered that invitation by caring for our beloved Richard Suttle in any number of ways. Transportation to and from the doctor, cleaning out his apartment and refurbishing it, preparing food, or better yet, picking up his favorite, never healthy or good for you food, taking care of his plants, helping him make end-of-life decisions, visiting and simply being present with him. All of you, and we will acknowledge you this afternoon at Richard's service, all of these were acts of denying yourself and following the one who taught us how to live and love. And for that, I thank you. And as one last act of service to Richard, I've asked Tim Payne to place a memorial nameplate on the back of Richard's seat that he occupied for 40 years. He did say that if we forgot which one it was the one that had the imprint of his gluteus maximus. One last story that I'm not telling at the memorial this afternoon. One time when Richard was at the VA, I visited him. He was in a quad. The curtains would barely fit around the bed because it was such a very tiny room. Now, in the bed diagonal from Richard's was a 90-year-old man who was constantly calling out, "I want to die, I want to die." And Richard said it went on all day long. Plus, he kept his light over the bed all the time, which annoyed Richard. So, of course, if you went to see him at the VA, you heard about that. So I go, and I'm not staying terribly long because we're all still masked up at the time, and it's a hospital. So I'm at the corner and, you know, praying with Richard because there's no way to get through to get closer to him. And I pray, and I leave. Well, a couple days later, I called Richard to see how he was doing, and he said, "You don't know what you did." I'm like, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to get blamed for now?" "What, Richard?" "You know that old man who has been moaning and screaming all the time? Well, after you left, he stopped." said, Richard, I didn't say anything to him. I didn't ask him to be quiet. He said, no, you don't understand. When you were at the corner of my bed where the curtains and with the light just coming through, with your hair that color, it looked like you had a halo over your head. He said, and I think he saw it too, because he stopped. What do you live for? Amen. Not be having communion today, given the time crunch between now and the beginning of Richard's service at 1 o'clock. If you are speaking in Richard's service, and if you are, you know who you are, and AV, we will meet down here at 12:40 to go through the service so you'll know what microphone to speak from. So please be back in here at 12:40. And I just want to thank our wonderful choir and those of you who are staying on, and it's you guys are just so good. That's all I can say. So, going now, ask yourself the question, what is it that you live for? Who is it that you live for? And how can you make this world a better, more peaceful place? Go now to love and serve the world. Amen.